Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Balance Boss podcast. Man, it feels good to be back. I feel like I've been gone for a few months and I've missed it. I've totally missed being able to bring all of you the inspiring conversations that I really look forward to having with thought leaders who are shifting and changing the world. And if you've been following on social media, you know that I have been on a little bit of a hiatus, trying to figure out what we're going to do with the Balance Boss podcast. I have been through massive shifts in the past year to 2 years, and I felt like the Balance Boss podcast wasn't necessarily reflecting the shifts that were happening in my business and in my life. So I took a moment to step back, and I'm excited to announce that in a few short months, I will be relaunching the Balance Boss podcast with a brand new theme, a brand new face, and hopefully deeper inspiration for you on your journey to stepping into an aligned life. However, in that process, many of you have reached out saying that you miss hearing the conversations that I was having on the podcast. So I've decided that I am going to release a mini season until we do the official launch. So you're going to continue to hear some inspiring conversations that I have had with people along the way while I've been taking a break. So with that being said, please help me introduce the very first guest of the Balance Boss podcast mini season, Christy Christensen. Christy is a global embodiment coach whose mission is to empower women and expand their definitions of yoga and well-being. She is the creator of Soulfire, a unique style of yoga that incorporates dance, meditation, and mudra practices to awaken and empower you. Additionally, she's the co-founder of the Asia-based Kirana Yoga School and US-based Deep Exhale, a transformational experience merging the worlds of breath, music, and movement. Christy's first book, which we speak about on today's interview, is called Chakra Rituals, Awakening the Wild Woman Within. I'm happy to announce that it just released, and it is a self-help guide that makes the ancient science of chakras accessible through a 7-week step-by-step program. For 10 years, Christy has served as the director of the internationally renowned Exhale Center for Sacred Movement in Venice, California, and her leadership has corresponded with the studio's rise to fame as it became the epicenter of yoga and set the foundation for yoga in the Western world. She has taught in over 20 countries around the globe and to tens of thousands of women, and her story is incredibly inspiring. We dive into everything you need to know about owning your empowered voice and what it means to embrace vulnerability. So without further ado, please help me welcome our very first guest of the mini season of the Balance Boss podcast, Christy Christensen.
Welcome to the Balanced Boss podcast, where we discuss how to live abundantly in all areas of your life. Here is your host and work-life balance coach, Lauren Zola.
Christy, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here with you.
I know. I'm so excited. Just so the listeners that listen into the Balance Boss podcast, we took a little bit of a hiatus. I took some time off to kind of just decide where I wanted the podcast to go next. And when I heard that you were interested in being on the show, I was so excited because I feel like you have so much to share. So I'm excited to dive into what we're going to dive into today.
Me too. So, yeah. so honored in so many ways.
Yay. Good. So we're going to be talking about reclaiming your authentic voice, which I feel is so important. I, as a coach, it's one of the main things. I have something called the voice activation method that I teach within my practice. And I really do feel like it's the key. It's the key to healing shame. It's the key to stepping fully into the woman that you want to be. So I'm really, really excited to dive into this today. But before we do, can you just take a moment and just let everyone know who you are and how you stepped fully into this space of being an empowerment coach and really living this life of being in your authentic voice?
Whew, that's a big question, but I'll try to just like give some key points along the way. I've been on actually an embodiment movement journey since basically the time I was born. My mother was a dancer. She had me on stage literally by the time I could walk. And by the age of 8, I was training for the Olympics in the support of gymnastics. At the same time, I was still dancing. So by the age of 10, I was also dancing with the School of the Arts. And then I had to choose, and then it shifted into, I had a devastating injury and I shifted to platform diving. So from age literally 2 to age 24, this whole trajectory of my life was this goal to be either, you know, on pinnacle on stage of, you know, the biggest ballet ever, or at the Olympics. At 24, I broke my back, and I was training for the 2004 Olympics at that time. And that injury, of course, I got injured many, many times in my career. And I thought every injury was just making me stronger to be able to come back and have this success story like no other. And when that injury came, the doctors are like, you cannot continue to do this. Like, you're going to be walking with a cane by the time you're 30 if you continue to do this. Like, do you want to have kids? You will not be able to pick them up and carry them. Like, that's how damaged your spine is right now. And platform diving, for those of you that don't know, is it's 33 feet up in the air and you hit the water at 30 miles an hour. So people all the time say, oh, did you have this crazy accident? No, it was from time and time and time again of hitting the water with that impact. And for whatever reason, my body couldn't sustain it, even though I was in the shape of an elite athlete. But really what happened in that moment is my world came crashing down, because the only life I knew was so focused to this degree of being this athlete or to being this performer, to the point where I moved away from home when I was 15 to travel with these coaches. My parents' friends, who I would meet years later, would be like, oh, you're the diver. Like, my identity was wrapped up into this pursuit. I had no idea who I was. I had no other goal. I had no other vision for myself. I didn't actually even think I was good at anything else, because this was everything. And everything I did in my life was to feed this goal. There was nothing I did in my life that did not feed this goal. So my world in that way came crashing down. I fell into a depression for the first time. And my energy is pretty vibrant and bright and light. And that's the energy I'm used to operating in. So when this darkness and pain came in, and suffering and despair, it created so much confusion in my psyche, because I didn't recognize the person who I was, and I couldn't relate to it. And through this process of healing and I was living in Texas at the time. So I was training at the training center, and, you know, I moved actually home first, where my parents were, in North Carolina, to start this healing path of recovery, and to figure out, like, I didn't even know, like, the words of figuring out what's next. Like, it made no sense. And I don't know if you can even understand that.
Yeah.
And through the process, someone took me to my first yoga class, and I actually couldn't do a lot of the practice at that time, because I couldn't really forward bend, but, there was something about the attention to the breath, and I've done every exercise under the sun, but there was nothing I'd ever done that I'd been guided breath by breath. And that, it's not that I fell in love with it, but it awoken a curiosity in me. And I was like, what is this? And I had, even though it was so physical, I had no idea that there was an energetic body, an emotional body, a spiritual body. There was God, or, you know, I grew up Catholic, so there was like God and there was this body, and that's all I knew. So things just started happening, and things started waking up, and sensations started waking up. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And so one of the things that became very clear early on was, not only did I want to continue this investigation of whatever this thing was like, the body has been my tool for everything. And I, the more healing work I had to do, the more I had to actually, like, go down in my body and recognize all the other stuff that was stored in here, from deep suppressed trauma and emotions and pain. And so actually, as I'm healing my back, like, I'm also starting actually the real healing journey of everything else that has happened, you know, all the other traumas and abuses, and, you know, and I wanted to then help others. I actually worked on the business side of yoga for a very long time. So on the side, I was doing personal training and teaching bar and teaching meditation. And I was, like, running other people's careers, but on the side, I was doing all of this, until one day I was like, no, like, I don't need to be managing everybody else's businesses and everybody else's careers, even though it was an amazing platform and it was really incredible. And I learned so much, but I really wanted to have my full energy and attention to be able to serve other people. So I really work from the body perspective. So using tools of, you know, yoga, even I do, of course, incorporate all the modalities that I worked with for so long, but in a different way, like dance, but to get into the emotional body, to dance your sadness, to release your anger and your rage, and to come into your full expression, and meditation, and speaking, and obviously with my, not obviously, but also with my new book that's coming out, and just shortly, Chakra Rituals. The last thing I'll say on this point is, my voice has been something that I've struggled with my whole life. As I'm a survivor of abuse, and I actually stopped at age 7. I stopped talking for almost a year. Mm. I would talk to like my friends and gymnastics, but I wouldn't talk at home. I wouldn't talk at home, and that was even more interesting because I was the kid that got in trouble at school all the time for talking when I wasn't supposed to, and it was never talked about why I didn't speak. It just continued to get repressed further and further down. And then as I got older, and it's a continual process for me, and that's why this work is so important to me, that I realized, or I learned, not that I realized, I learned that staying silent is what kept me safe.
Yeah.
Staying silent is what kept me alive. So to actually speak up sometimes and ask for what I want or what I need, or to say that doesn't feel right, or I'm not okay with that, on this energetic level feels life-threatening.
Right.
And I've learned in my travels around the world and the thousands of women that I've taught yoga to, that that is not an unusual story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That it is more common than not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's so beautiful, well, first off, let me just acknowledge that I feel like I'm speaking to myself right now.
Wow.
So much of my story, I was a dancer, and I know that people that listen to the podcast know this, but just to give you a little bit of context, I was a dancer. I had an injury that took me out when I was in college, and I found yoga. Someone introduced me to yoga, and it was that same, honestly, it was, I say yoga was the gateway for me, like it was for you too. So if you're listening right now and you haven't, you're feeling that deep, dark pain, start with, I always say, go to yoga. It's the first place when you can start with the physical body. It really is a gateway to start uncovering some of this deeper healing. And sometimes it's the only way that we have access.
Absolutely. And start like just with one breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you can, with the yoga practice, you really just can go one breath at a time, and maybe one breath's all you got today, and that's okay. And then maybe tomorrow it's three breaths. Oh, and then maybe the next day it's a whole sun salutation or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so there's an awakening and a wisdom that is living in this body temple. And voices and stories that want to be released out and to be told, or just want to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I want to circle back around to talking about suppressing your voice and really living in that space of feeling like it wasn't okay to speak, but how we really discount the survival mechanism of that. Right? Of that suppression and how it really does keep us safe, right? We oftentimes don't talk about how the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn states, the survival states, really do. They're so brilliant. Our body is incredibly intelligent. And we oftentimes discount that in saying, oh, these horrible things happened and I was quiet for so long and I had this traumatic event. But we discount the actual intelligence of your body and being able to stay safe. So can you talk a little bit more about that journey of really understanding that? Because I think personally, there's a moment that comes in that we have to have this compassion in order to fully step into healing and processing the emotions to tap back into our voice, right? So did you have a moment of compassion that really showed up for you when you were really working through some of that shame and suppression of your voice?
Yes. So the interesting thing was, is even though like now I understand that's what I was doing my whole life, like I didn't realize I was scared to speak. I mean, I would, you know, I was the person, I would get sore throats all the time. Like I would actually, from not speaking, I would lose my voice. all the time, but not because I was out at a party screaming and yelling, you know, like over and over again. I had vocal stuff, I had ear stuff. So that's where also, like, from this chakra perspective, it's like, it's all energy. This is all vibration. It's all, it's being restricted and kept in and held, and it has to do something, right? So I didn't even have the consciousness or the awareness to realize what I was doing. And even friends would say to me, like, I can't believe you just let him do that to you. Why didn't you speak up? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. Like, it didn't bother me. Like, I kind of like resulted to this place where I thought I was like in equanimity of like, oh, I confused it with actually like being in my power, that yeah. nothing bothered me, that I didn't get angry, that it wasn't that big of a deal. And through where it really came out for me, it was in relationships with men. In work, I could speak to the cows came home. You know, I'm basically a speaker, even just teaching, you're speaking for a living. And when I was running the businesses, running the yoga business and a retreat business, I had no problem negotiating contracts. I had no problem, you know, telling my superiors this was wrong, or I thought that was great, or any, I was liked because I spoke up, you know, but in my personal life, I was debilitated. And it became like, it just kind of was like this eroding of myself, I guess you could say. And it really came forth in this one relationship I was in, and I completely lost myself in it because I could not speak up. And some really devastating things happened, and I couldn't express my anger, and I was in therapy, and I was like, why can't I just do this? And I would have in my head the perfect formulated answer of what I was going to say to this person when I saw them, and I'd practice it in the car on the way to go meet them. And then I would get there. Instead of being able to speak from power, I was speaking from the place of the victim. But I actually consciously didn't at that point know I was a victim. So I came from this place of hopelessness and helplessness and tears, but not from anything that held this other person accountable. It actually somehow spun it, and I took responsibility for their action, if this makes sense. And so through this going to therapy and this deep dive, it comes back to one of my core wounds is my voice being shut down, and we're tracking it back. And the trauma that I experienced was, I didn't, until I was in my 30s, I had no idea. I mean, I had signs that I had trauma, but I had no memories. And then a series of traumatic events that kind of started in this relationship, flashbacks started coming back. And so I just thought, this is how I was, this was my personality. And then I realized through the therapy that this was what kept me safe. So instead of like because I would beat myself up over not being able to do this and being weak, and if I'm never able to tell someone how I feel or what's wrong or what I need, how am I ever going to be in a real relationship? Like, how am I ever really going to find love? Is it all just going to be pretend? And but that's where the compassion piece really came in, of recognizing and understanding that this highly developed, highly intelligent skill set, basically was cultivated in my being at a very, very young age to keep me alive. But the problem was, once I didn't need it, I didn't know how to turn it off. So I was still operating in that same survival pattern, even if my survival wasn't threatened. But right. I didn't know that.
Exactly. Right. Right. Well, it's, I feel like you're preaching to the choir, and this is what I geek out on. And this is what I help women with in my practice, is being able to find that. Because I always say this, that relationships are the greatest gift that we can be given, because they are, every relationship that you call into your life is a direct mirror image of the way that you view yourself. Right. So in this space of not feeling like you were able to really hone into your voice, it was the curiosity piece that was like, why can't I do this? That led you into really understanding your core wounds. Mm-hmm. And what I would like for you to talk about a little bit, because I know that my clients know what it is, because I do a lot of core wounding work, right? We also call them, you've heard me, if you're listening to the podcast, subconscious limiting beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. They're all interwoven with one another. I have a process that I take my clients through where we go back through past relationship patterns. We go back through big T and little T trauma moments, childhood mm-hmm. dynamics, and then even so back as far as generational dynamics and how they play in to you suppressing your voice. What would you suggest, or what do you usually lead people through? And I'm sure that it ties into your book, because I know that there's probably mm-hmm. a lot that you describe in your book. Where do you suggest someone starts? And maybe we can have a conversation around that. If someone is noticing these patterns, because relationships are a great place, you can't run. You can run and hide and achieve mm-hmm. work, right? Mm-hmm. But with relationships, there's nowhere to go, right? Mm-hmm. Because you are having that interaction with someone mm-hmm. else. So where would you suggest that someone starts in that process?
Well, again, because I'm such a tactile person, for me, it really began with starting to use my voice and bringing awareness to all these structures of the throat, the neck, the ears, the jaw, the shoulders, all these places that are habitually holding tension and working to release that. Starting to use my voice in non-threatening ways. Mm-hmm. So that fight, flight, survival, I couldn't even go into that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, how can I practice doing, it's all these like series of practices. So one of the things I do, like the first thing I do with people is like, I just actually have them starting to move their head and neck, looking up and down, rolling from side to side, actually massaging the jaw. Like, cause now I'm so aware that as soon as I'm like, I catch myself clenching my jaw, I said, what is it you want to say? Yeah. Like, what do you want to say that you are not saying right now? Because this shows up for me on now that I'm aware of it. In the simplest ways, it could be like, I don't want to eat there. And I agree to go eat there, you know, or something simple like that. And it's like, but I'll catch myself now clenching my jaw or shrugging my shoulders or coming down and I'm compressing this whole, you know, area of the body. And then from there, it's literally, I started just opening my mouth and just opening the mouth and stretching it as wide as I could, exhaling out through the mouth. And then one technique that I really, still can be very emotional for me is I open my mouth as wide as I can and I actually inhale and exhale through the mouth. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a lion's breath, but you're like, and it's like, I imagine like everything that I haven't been able to say my entire life, all the things that are still just stored in my, and it's not even, I do that consciously. It just starts to happen and I can see it. And then I breathe in and then everything just is released out and it starts to move so much energy, because this is all like, we're all just energy. This is vibration that's stuck, that's stagnant, that's keeping us from being in this authentic place to be like this. These old stories and these old words are creating this poison, you could say, or this toxicity that's keeping us from actually being able to express. So I start with simple things like that. And then I use other yogic tools because that's my background. I use the tools of mantra this is where we begin, the non-threatening ways. Mm-hmm. Because if you've never spoken up before, like I said, for me, even to ask a simple question sometimes, I thought for sure this person was going to abandon me. They weren't going to, all of a sudden I was going to be unlovable. It really felt like the world was going to end. And coming to terms with that was crazy making. Like, am I insane? But using mantra is a tool or a device to connect your mind and your heart. And it can be done in the Sanskrit language, which is a vibrational language, or it could be a simple word like love and just repeating it over and over again with intentionality, but also with fun. Like, I like to bring a playfulness into these practices too, because for me, that helps to take it out of that threatening place too. And just starting to explore the voice. And one of the things I love about the chakras is each of them has a sound. And these are like the different sounds of the body and the different energies of the body. So even just playfully, you know, making these different sounds and imagine them coming out of these areas of your body and the colors that come with it. My favorite practice is something I called shake, rattle, and roar. And it's going into a much more dynamic way. And I start with systematically shaking each area of the body, but then I ask the body, you know, to make a nonsensical sound. So as you're shaking your hands, so it's also a practice to really drop your inhibitions, shaking the hands out or shaking the arms out and then giving them a sound. So what is the, what sound is trapped in here? And it might be a whole nother language. It might be like, you know, and then you bring it into the arms and then you bring it into the shoulders. And it, again, it releases what is held in the body. From the yogic perspective, we believe that everything that's ever happened to us is stored in the tissues of the body. And if it does not move, how do we integrate? How do we heal? How do we you know, come fully alive? And that practice to, for me still, like if I'm having an important meeting, I do it because like, as I'm moving different parts of the body, like some emotion comes up and I might feel anger and I might feel sad. And I just make the sounds that go with it. And if you really give yourself permission to let go, it's very transformative and you can do it in 2 minutes, like 2 minutes or less.
Right. Yeah. Those are all such powerful practices. And I think, you know, it's interesting to hear it from an energetic perspective. I do a lot of work in somatics, which is, you know, somatic therapy, which is the soma of the body. And really where a lot of people tend to fall short when they're making some of these shifts and diving into traumatic experiences is that they stay very much in the brain. They're very much in cognitive awareness, right? Mm-hmm. What we don't understand is that if we just, this is part of the reason why mindset work can sometimes be extremely detrimental to people if they're just doing mindset work and they're not dealing with the nervous system. Right.
Agreed.
And healing the way that the nervous system responds to triggers. So I think what's so beautiful, and if you're listening, what you're doing is in somatics, we call it modulation, which is giving tiny little bite-sized chunks to where your nervous system feels safe enough to then be okay, right? To be okay to use your voice, to be okay standing up in front of people and feeling like you can express yourself fully. So I think that's what's so beautiful about all of these little exercises you've given is that it really is, it's almost this comforting sense of modulation in somatic work of being able to tell the nervous system and tell the physical body that it's okay. Like it's okay for you to step into this space versus, you know, think differently and make all of these shifts, but your body hasn't caught up to the way that your brain is starting to shift and the way it needs to shift.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like this, like that sets the foundation to be able to do that. And especially through the shaking and the sounding together for me personally, and what I've seen with the different people I work with is that it also aligns the rest of the energetic body. Yeah. So all this, after you stop this practice and you stand in the power of you, who you are, you feel grounded, you feel safe and secure. Again, even if it's for just these few moments, right? You feel the emotions, the energy and motion moving through your body. You feel the pulsation of aliveness in your power. You feel an openness in your heart. And then there's, you feel like, oh my gosh, I can do this. Like I can actually say to my mom, blah, 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 or I can, whatever that is. So I also find that it, when we can get our whole system online together, then we can have, again, from the energetic perspective, the whole base up of the chakras supporting you, it just makes this gateway is going to open. And it's going to be so much easier. And then there's an easier alignment, right? Between the head and the heart.
Sure. Absolutely. So here's kind of a question that I would love to ask you. This work, and I get this frequently, this work can feel, especially when you're starting, if you've never had body awareness and you've never, I think there's a really beautiful book out. You've probably read it. It's called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah. Amazing book.
Amazing book. If you're listening and you want to start somewhere and really seeing how your body reacts to trapped emotions, start there. But it can feel extremely uncomfortable for people if they've never tapped into any sort. I mean, you know, you're a dancer, you were a past dancer, you were a diver, you have that innate ability to communicate with your body. Same for me, it always came very easily to me. But for someone that doesn't, and they start these practices and they feel that resistance show up, right? Like, oh my gosh, I feel so goofy.
Right.
Right. Like that's, I know that's a big one that comes up. Like, I feel so ridiculous. how do they ease that discomfort of really feeling like, is this going to work? This is crazy, right? How do they ease that discomfort? What would you suggest there?
Well, the first thing is you can do this in the privacy of your own home. I'm not suggesting you go out in Central Park and just start, because and also know that you are going to be uncomfortable. 99% of the people are going to feel uncomfortable. I teach this stuff and put myself on stage to do it on purpose, you know, in front of hundreds of people, because I know the impact of it. And like, if I'm guiding you through an experience, I'm going to be so absurdly ridiculous that you're going to be like, oh, I could never be as crazy as her. So I can do this. Right. So it's like, I try to give people permission, like we're trying to be perfect and reserved and like look this certain way so much of the time that we're also, again, that restricts and confines our energy. So how has that served you so far? Mm-hmm. So what if you gave yourself permission to just try and just know going in, there's a very good chance you're going to feel very uncomfortable. And there's a very good chance you're going to say, this is stupid. Or why is she making me do this? Oh, this could never work. That's your fear coming up. That's actually the energy of fear coming up that's stored in your body too. That's like, oh, wait a second. This armor that I've been wearing that's been protecting me all this time is being threatened, right? Oh, no, this, even though I'm not happy operating in this way, I know it, I'm familiar with it. I don't want to disrupt it, right? I mean, again, like these are things
that's the wound, right? That's
the wound. Exactly. The wound protecting itself.
Yeah. It's that need of feeling like this perfection. I have to receive external validation in order to feel whole. Right.
Absolutely.
So like, I'm going to be goofy and people aren't going to,
they're
going to
judge me. Yeah. And like, what's also when I think, because I also lead these kind of practices, collectively in big groups. And it's amazing because as soon as like people try it or buy into it, you know, other people then be like, oh, okay, they're doing it. And then people just, you know, really, really let go. But, there's always that you'll see the some people that are literally standing there like this. And I get it for sure. But like, I want you to know, like whatever's going through your head of someone's judging me, like nobody's actually watching you, you know, everybody's in their own experience. And we're so conditioned to need that validation. But like, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
Like really, what's the worst that can happen? And I encourage you to take the risk of your own healing, of your own awakening, of your own discovery. Try something slightly different than you've done before and see for yourself what the results are. And if it doesn't work for you, that's okay. You don't have to do it again. But I think that's even going to like talk therapy the first time or going to a somatic therapist for the first time, right? Like it's scary. We're uncomfortable. We don't want to tell them our life shit. You know, this is, you know, I think because this seems like it's so simple, you know, and it's not serious and it's not, you know, that there's a different judgment that goes along with it. But I'll go back to the word that you used at the very beginning of curiosity, of being curious and, be curious with your healing, be curious with your own awakening, because we're, no matter how amazing your life is, we're still on this journey of awakening more, of healing more, of coming more alive. And
it's so true.
If we remain curious, you can't be judgmental.
It's so true. And I usually tell people this too. You can embrace the discomfort. Everything on the other side of discomfort is beautiful, right? So it's like when you can have that moment of understanding, this feels really uncomfortable, but there's almost this solace in knowing that on the other side, it's going to be more beautiful than you could ever imagine, because you're stripping layers of yourself. It's like, it's almost in a way, I mean, I know being in personal development for a long time now, and I'm sure you're the same way, you almost invite that discomfort. You want that discomfort because it makes you feel like you are stepping into a new version of yourself, or you're shedding layers, or makes you feel alive, right? And often do we just suppress that?
And life, like you just said, life is uncomfortable a lot of the time. So what an amazing place to practice being uncomfortable, and then also getting to the other side and feeling what's awaiting on the other side of that discomfort.
Completely agree. This has been so wonderful. And I love that you're able to take so much of the work that's done in personal development can be, I feel like some of the conversations can get, it's too much, right? For someone that's just now getting started and trying to strip back those layers. So I really loved that we were able to talk about how to make it tangible for someone that, I mean, whether you've been doing this work for a while, this work is incredible, but someone that may just be getting started, how to really start that tiny, you know, just that tiny shift to be able to start to get into your body, to start to heal. So can you talk to us a little more, Christy, about this exciting new book that's getting ready to just birth into the world and you're getting ready to kind of step fully into? I want to know all about it because I know it's probably based on a lot of the principles that you spoke about today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. The book is called Chakra Rituals, Awakening the Wild Woman Within. So I really wanted to create a book that brought this ancient science and of the subtle body, of the energy body, but into, just like what you said, into this very tangible experiential form so that you could take advantage of this. For me, it's the map in which I see the world. It's the map I use for transformation and empowerment. And the word I use is aliveness, because I believe that people aren't as much, just like Joseph Campbell says, put my name with his. I actually start the book with this quote is, I don't believe that people are so much seeking the meaning of life. I think they're actually feeling the rapture of what it is to be alive. And so that's this real impetus behind it. So it's not a chakra encyclopedia. The things I choose to talk about in each chapter are specific to awakening that energy of aliveness.
Yeah.
And what I'm calling the wild woman. Because I, from the perspective in which I share, is we have to take it out of the mind and we have to bring it into the body and come back into the intelligence of this body. It's not about escaping this life. It's about living fully embodied, enlightened aliveness is what I call it.
Love it.
It's not the other way around. Like there's a lot in the spiritual world around transcendence and escaping the body. And the body is the root of all evil, I believe, and especially from the feminine perspective, it's about going down into our roots, going down into our darkness, going down into our wombs, our creation centers, and really getting in touch with and recognizing that you're not just one thing, that you have access to power and intelligence and genius at these seven distinct levels. And I really take you on a step-by-step journey. If you choose to do the book in the way it's designed, it takes you on a 7-week plan. And each week is dedicated to one chakra. And I share with you what I call the ritual practices. And they all come from most of them come from the yoga tradition. It's everything from creating sacred space in your home to meditation practices, breath work, to mudra practices, which is the yoga of your hands, to vinyasa yoga, but I do it in what I call body prayer. So it's like almost like a devotional prayer to each energy of the chakra, and tons of writing contemplation and writing prompts. And for me, the other thing I didn't mention is one of the things that really helped me with my voice is writing, of being able to have the page, you know, being a safe place for me to say everything I want to say. So I use a lot of contemplation to get you just not, again, to really coming from the thinking place, but to allowing that free flow of answers to come through. So I'm so excited to share this.
Incredible. It sounds incredible. So wonderful. And I'm going to have to get a copy of it.
I hope so.
Yes. Yes. And also the clients that I work with, I feel like it's such an important, I'm always giving them resources to dive into. And I think that this really is a great place to start. And what I love that you've done with the book is that you've made, I think oftentimes with yoga, the chakras can feel so overwhelming, right? And they can be, people are like, wait, what? But it sounds like you have made them in a way that's really accessible to the everyday person.
Absolutely. That was the goal, to make them really accessible to the modern day woman.
I love it. No. Love it so much. So what's next for you? I know that this book is coming out, but where, two things, what's next for you? And also, where can people find you? So if they want to follow you, if they really want to join in on your journey, if you're offering anything, take a moment to just kind of plug yourself and where people can get access to the beautiful Christy.
Thank you. The easiest place to find me is my name, ChristyChristensen.com. There's tabs to the book. There's tabs to my schedule. There's tabs to my Instagram. So just one easy place is just ChristyChristensen.com. Right now it's really about launching this book into the world. And I, pre-COVID, my life was teaching mostly overseas in Europe and Asia. And obviously that hasn't happened yet. So I'm, you know, reinventing in a sense and developing right in the process right now of developing a master course, basically taking the book, but going much deeper for the people that want that. And there are going to be two tracks to it. One track would be for yoga teachers that want to be able to teach and share from this perspective. And the other one would just be for the people that really want this deep personal transformation through this lens. So that will be launching. We're still in the beginning stages, but probably January of 2022. So that's a big project. And I'm also, you know, I'm really just excited to be getting back out into the world. I love the online portal, but I also really miss being able to be with people face to face and breathing and feeling this energy, this collective power together.
I know. I love it. And I miss it so much too. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the show, for sharing your heart, for sharing your wisdom, because I know that, you know, it takes time to do this and to really speak about it. And I'm really excited to get your book out into the world. And hopefully I can have you back on the podcast when the master course is released and we can talk
about that.
That would be incredible to talk about too. Christy, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll get to see each other again soon.
I can't wait. And it was so much fun chatting with you. I'm like, oh, we could like chat for like 5 more hours.
I know. Right. We have so much to talk about. We're going to do it again. We'll do another round.
Thanks so much. Yeah.